This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you so much for being here again. Welcome back to Hannah Worldwide and Friends, the podcast where traveler, experts, and adventurer share their stories. If you want to learn about what it's like living in another country, you want to experience a new culture, or you just love to travel, this podcast is for you. Or maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone, and this podcast might be the inspiration you need. You can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi everyone, please welcome with me Maria Jenkel from Germany. Maria and I worked together at a research institution for animal health in Germany, and that must have been like 10 years ago or something. And then we both decided to move abroad in a pretty close time. Like, I went half a year earlier, you went half a year later, something like that. And I'm really, really happy and grateful that you were able to make some time today. You are in Australia now, I'm in New Zealand, so we are kind of neighbors. And thank you for your time to have this interview with me today and to share your story.
Yeah, thank you for having me. We've worked on that for a while, so great that we finally made it happen.
Yes, and thank you so much. You are also a loyal listener. And you are giving me feedback, which is amazing. I can totally work on that too. And it's just great to have a fellow German a little bit closer than all the others at the other end of the world.
Yeah, definitely. It's good to know that not everyone is like 24-hour flight away. So that definitely helps to have other Germans close by.
Absolutely. And it's funny how we say close by, because you are still, how long would the flight be from New Zealand to Canberra?
I don't know. I don't know. We probably don't have direct flights, so the closest would be Sydney. And then it's, I don't know, 4 hours?
Yeah, maybe? I know Perth is 6 hours and Melbourne is 4.
Yeah, maybe it's just 3. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's closer than 24 to get to Germany.
Absolutely. We can definitely support each other if it's needed. Can you tell us a little bit about how it happened that you decided, okay, I want to get out of Germany as well, and what motivated you?
So I think I always wanted to get out of Germany, even during high school. High school wasn't my favorite place. I didn't have a lot of friends. I was more of the outsider. So getting away was always like, yeah, just like getting away, getting far away, to do something different, hoping that, yeah, that would be better than what was at home. But obviously, yeah, during high school, if you don't have the financial means, it's hard to do a year abroad. And then you also want to start your career. So right after high school, I went to uni. Then, yeah. During uni, I was planning to do a semester abroad, but then again, studying abroad, especially in Australia, so expensive. And then the timeline didn't really fit, so that was out of the question. And then, well, you know, you finish uni, and then, well, you first have to work and save some money, because there's nothing during uni that you can do. And then I started my PhD, so that was another 3 years where there was not really, yeah, time to go away. And then right away I got a job offered, so I just stayed where I was. And then at some point I just got burnt out. So after, doing 3 years of my PhD and then 2 years of my postdoc, I just quit my job. I just there would have been other options, but I just wanted it done, and I wanted to, get away with it. And then I just decided to take a year off, just to recover. I moved back in with my parents. Like my mental health wasn't in a great place, with burnout and being unhappy with situation, how things were. And then it was more by accident because I had to apply for jobs because the job agency was like, well, you want to get money, you have to write that many job applications. And I just by looking for jobs, there was one offered in Australia, and I was like, well, I have to write applications anyway, so I just write that. And then I got an email. It's like, oh yeah, we invite you for an interview. I was like, okay, yeah, I do that. At 5 o'clock in the morning because of the time difference. And then eventually my now boss called me. A funny thing, she's German too. Called me. I was like, oh Maria, I'm just calling. I want to offer you the job. What are you saying? I was like, I don't know. I haven't even told my parents that I applied for a job in Australia. Maybe can I call you back tomorrow?
Oh, wow.
Just like, yeah, that's totally fine. I just want to make sure before we start the whole process, that you are on board. And then I told my parents, and they were totally fine with it. It's like, yeah, sure, if that's what you want to do, have fun. And then, yeah, we started the whole process, and 3 months later, I'm moved to Australia. So, crazy story.
Whoa. Yeah, with how did it work with the visa situation? Because I know it's not that easy to quickly just get a job and then without an actual work visa to just go there and work.
I was pretty lucky because I work for Federal Research Institute in Australia. And they are an accredited sponsor for working visas. So to get the whole process, it's already fast tracked. So from submitting there was some issues with the visa, but that was not my fault. That was my employer's fault. And but from me launching the visa until approval, wasn't even a week. So that was
Whoa.
really fast.
And probably it helped also because you are highly skilled, obviously, with having a PhD in UN science. It is probably similar to New Zealand and other countries where high-skilled people are wanted more, and it's a little bit easier to get people who have PhDs or like are on a skills shortage or higher paying salaries. Was that the case for you as well, or even for a lower position would have been okay?
I think also for a lower position, it would have been okay because in my case, well, the job has to be on the shortage list. But because my employer was already on the accredited list, they already have to do the make a labor assessments. Like, they already have to prove there are no suitable Australians in the country who can do the job. So it's already assumed that they already do all the work beforehand. And then, it's quite fast to get the visa through. However, then for my permanent visa, that was definitely based on my qualifications and my international reputation as a scientist. And that made it much easier for my permanent visa.
Right, perfect. And can you tell us why Australia?
It's far away. It's basically, well, New Zealand would be further, but it's if you want to get away, you can't go much further. So that for one. And then it's just such a fascinating country. It's just so different from everything else, from the nature, the animals, the cultural heritage. It's also so international because it's based on immigration. And yeah, it was just always Australia. Like, I can't really tell when it started to be Australia. It was, just always was Australia.
Wow, maybe it's really that furthest away, beautiful nature, all of that, that came to mind. Our topic today is outrunning depression, or can you outrun depression? So I would like to dive into that a little bit more, and I just want to, yeah, trigger warning. It is, we are talking about depression and mental health, and you are going to be quite vulnerable. So thank you for that. It's not, I don't take it for granted that you open up and that you share your personal emotions and in that regard, another way of story with us today as well. So you mentioned already before that at high school and school, it was already that you didn't feel quite like you belong and you didn't have many friends. When do you think did it start with your mental health, that it became an issue and that you were aware of it?
I think it might already have been an issue at high school. But then again, that was like 20 years ago. No one talked about that stuff 20 years ago. So it was just not a thing. And then, I mean, you get older, people or children get less cruel. You move away for uni, you make other friends. So that was all fine. And you're busy with studies, you are busy with work. At some point, you also don't really have to think about it. You just do. And I think really an issue it became during the, yeah, before I quit my job. Because it was just work, there was nothing else, and work was a lot, the workload was a lot, it was stressful, and at some point my body was just like, no, we're not doing this anymore. So I became like physically sick, and I also, yeah, mentally wasn't able anymore to do the work.
Yeah. Do you know, or can you share with us how it manifested for you? Like you said, you were physically sick, but did you have anxiety? Did you have, like, you know, it's like really different for different people how it's manifesting. For me, for example, I started having panic attacks and things like that. Was there anything what that was mainly present for you at that time?
Yeah, it was mainly anxiety attacks that just from one moment to another without any trigger that I could identify. So it's like, yeah, I just froze and there was nothing anymore. This just, yeah. And physically it was just, yeah, lots of stomach issues. No appetite. Yeah. Mostly that, I would say. And then, yeah, also brain fog, that you couldn't concentrate on the task. Everything took 10 times longer than it should have. Just trying to focus on what needs to be done. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you really think, okay, going the furthest away to Australia, that might change something? Like, this idea of outrunning your depression to kind of leave the country, what was your expectation? What do you think you thought could be different in the other country?
So yeah, back at that point, I was only diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder, not depression. So that's really just looking back retrospectively, that was definitely a factor as well. And moving to Australia, in that moment, I didn't think, well, I definitely thought it would make things better. It's a different environment. It's kind of like a new start, just a reset. But I was also really anxious to move to Australia. I really procrastinated to even do the packing. Like, I think I started to pack the day before I left. Like with all the planning, I didn't do much. I just was not able to do much. And even the day before I left, I wasn't really sure if I would board the plane.
Wow.
But then, funnily enough, as soon as I got to Australia, I mean, I was totally tired and jet lagged when I got here. That the next day, most of it was just gone. It's like
Yeah.
the first few months in Australia, I hardly had any anxiety attacks. Just like all of a sudden, it was gone. So it
Wow.
kind of helped to move to Australia in the first place.
Right.
It came back, but first, yeah, it was a good start.
Do you think it was because of change of scenery, change of, just everything is out of the routine and everything is new, a lot of different reactors and a lot of different impressions that you were just too busy to think of anything else and to actually really, you were quite good distracted?
Yeah, definitely that for one part, but also feeling like it was an actual reset. Like I didn't know anyone in Australia. People didn't know me. They didn't know anything about my history, so it didn't really matter whatever I had done before. So starting new was, I think, helped the most.
Wow, yeah, that's such a good point as well, because, and I think I even noticed it with myself, you kind of feel like you can just rediscover yourself, you can recreate yourself, you can just be whoever you wanted to be. Like, no one who knows you is there, and the people who kind of also defined you or are part of your identity back home in Germany, and so far away that you can literally just be whoever you want to be.
Yes, definitely. And also helped to have, well, I mean, obviously I had a job, but I still lacked a routine, like hobbies, what to do after work and stuff like that. So I picked up the running shoes again and I started running again, which I lasted on a regular basis in high school. And having also that physical exercise, that helped a lot, to, of course. Well, I'm at least one of the people who get a runner's high once they're done with running, so I get all the happy
Yeah.
hormones.
Yeah, which is obviously also proven that, it's releasing endorphins and the happy hormones, dopamine, and just makes you feel so much better and you're exhausted, you sleep better. Better sleep leads to also better mental health. Like, it's a whole chain reaction, right? But you mentioned in the beginning when you first arrived in Australia, you felt so much better. But then, did it come back once you were back in a routine? Like, how did your mental health journey go while you were there? From it was gone and you felt pretty good, and then to I pick up the shoes and try to again outrun my depression.
Yeah, so like I said, the running helped a lot, but then I also noticed, yeah, back in the routine that it wasn't helping that much anymore. And I actually got advice, went to the GP, did a bunch of tests, however valid they are, and then was not only diagnosed with yeah, anxiety disorder, but also with depression. And then, well, it was also just before COVID, so that was maybe half a year before COVID. And then obviously with COVID, just that made it just 10 times worse. Because yeah, there was COVID, you didn't know what was going on. Then we had lockdowns, not that harsh in the beginning, at least here. Then I moved again, and then we had lockdowns where we really weren't allowed to go to work anymore. So and I lived alone at that point. Yeah, being isolated, being on my own. So that definitely made it much, much worse. And then at that point, it was also hard to get out of it again. Like I saw a therapist, I took medication, but I don't think any of it really worked. And only, yeah, the end of last year, I picked up the running shoes again. And that was the point is, accidentally, and you're not supposed to do that, but I stopped taking the medication, which was not planned. It was really by accident. And I noticed, well, I feel good. I even feel better without it. And I just kept running and got more energy again to do other stuff, planning holidays, going on road trips, doing long walks and hikes. Really enjoying stuff again.
Right. I also noticed for myself that when I started doing more and more of the things that I enjoy, I started going to the gym again when I was feeling really low, which is also more than 10 years ago now. And I also started dancing. I started singing lessons, and then I started traveling more again. And that really got me out of my depression because I just was able to feel again. Like, I can only imagine for you also with the running, and also like physical exercise is super important for the mental health as well. And then you love the nature, you love waterfalls, to plan trips and to go out into nature. That's amazing. Like, I mean, I see your photos, they are beautiful as well. And how do you feel at the moment?
Yeah, at the moment, I feel quite good. It's like actually having that energy to go for walks, to go for a gym, just been for a walk before we started the podcast.
Nice.
Just it's for me, it's important to stick with my routines. So to know, at this day, that's gym day. At this day, it's running day. At this day, it's going for a walk. That helps. And once you start, it gets easier. The problem is to actually start, because when you are really low, you even getting out of bed is a struggle. And I'm always fascinated with myself that I in all that time I never had problems getting to work. So, but that was basically the constant is like, okay, this is something I have to do, because I have to pay rent, I have to pay for food. So that always worked, which I'm happy about. Everything else, just picking up the dishes and get them to the sink feels like the heaviest, the hardest task ever.
Yeah. Wow. That's, I guess, like, when people feel like, okay, they can't really get out of bed, like the daily little things, like the just the normal day-to-day stuff becomes like a massive task, right?
Yeah, for me, it was really just at one point it clicked and I was like, no, I'm actually sick of this. I don't want this anymore. I want to change that. And then, yeah, it just took a lot of effort to make it happen.
Yeah, but you can be really proud of yourself. Like, you asked for help, you went to a therapist, like you talked about it, you are really open about it right now. It's like, that's already a good start, because if you don't even admit that you need help, if you don't even talk about it, then it's so much harder to actually change it. And to have that attitude to say, I want to change it, I don't want to spend the rest of my life like that. That's also great effort, so well done.
Yeah, I think it's also getting easier now, because there's a lot more awareness and help around it. Like I said, like 20 years ago, there was just something that wasn't talked about. And yeah, and every time you just said someone had a mental problem, there was kind of a taboo, or the easy answer if the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong physically.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
where now it's much easier to get the help and to also be taken seriously and not just, oh, it's just all in your head. Have you tried to feel happy? Like, yeah, it's not working like that.
Yeah, that's the most interesting part also from people who don't really understand the difference between being sad and being depressed, right? It's like, yes, it's sadness, but it's so much deeper. Like sad, at least you feel something, but depressed, it's like more like a big emptiness and you don't really feel much. It's like really shallow feelings and yeah,
Yeah.
it's just not the same. You can't just decide you want to be happy now. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's hard work to get back. But yeah, at some point it gets better. You just have to. I mean, there's a nice saying I always tell myself, like, if you're already in hell, keep going. Like if it's already bad, it can't get much worse, but if you keep going, it might get better. So,
That's a very good attitude to have, that's for sure.
I try every time I feel like there was no, yeah, no good thing right now. It's like, okay, just keep going. There will come a good thing.
Keep going is, I guess, the best thing you can do. Obviously, for some people, it is even harder. So, no judgment there at all for the people who are not quite there yet or who are struggling even more. And then I just hope that those people find the right people to help or to have that good friend that gives the right push in the right direction. But yeah, coming back to you, looking back and with the title of Can You Outrun Depression? Do you think you just took your problems, put it in the backpack, and took it with you to Australia? Or did you really see a difference from how you felt in Germany and how you feel in Australia?
I would say I packed a good bunch of the problems and took them with me. I left some in Germany, and I noticed that every time I go back to Germany, because most of the time when I have to go back to Germany, I feel anxious about that. But yeah, I definitely packed a good bunch of problems, and you definitely have to do the work. Just moving to the other end of the world and reset won't solve your problems, because most of the problems is not the environment or the people around you. The problems are in you, so you have to do the work to solve them. And yeah, you just take them with you. I mean, obviously, if you have toxic relationships, yes, you can leave them behind. But yeah, most of the problems you take with you. So moving definitely does not solve the problem. Running, on the other hand, does not necessarily solve the problem, but gives you the energy and the happy hormones to deal with them. So that's and in my case, I found the running much more helpful than therapy or medication. That definitely gave me more energy and more energy to solve the problems, to deal with them.
Yeah, that's a really good answer of our main question. So I think it is really, I don't want to say obvious, but it is clear that if you have mental health issues, a lot of it comes from within, and there is a lot of work that needs to be done also, even if it's trauma from an event from childhood or from whatever. This all needs work, which has something to do with you and with your internal, like with your emotions and memories and all of that. So it is really a good thing to say you pa or it's clear that you can't run away from your problems and just move overseas as far away as possible, and then your problems are solved and you feel better immediately. So you really made it clear that that's not going to work. And I hope that everyone who is considering doing that is learning from it. That won't fix your problems. But on the other hand, of course, sometimes a change of scenery or getting away from toxic people or toxic situations, of course, can improve your overall well-being. But the question of can you outrun depression by moving overseas, I guess clearly the answer is no. But can you outrun it by going running? The answer is you can definitely improve your mental health a hell of a lot by going to run. Or even if you don't like running, go for proper walks or do some other exercise. Because not everyone loves running.
Yeah, true. And I mean, for me, I use a method called 80-20. So 80% of the time you like have maximum effort or high effort, and then 20% low effort. So I normally run for 8 minutes and then walk for two. So for everyone who just can't run, run for a minute and walk for five, if that helps. As long as you're moving, and as long as you're getting out, I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, as long as it's out in nature and moving your body. I also don't really like running. And for me, I just decided I go for a lot of walks because I love walking and I love being outside. And instead of forcing myself to run, and then I will hate it, and then I will stop doing it, I just go for frequent walks, and at least I am consistent, and it's still the movement that I need to feel better and to feel good. So, yeah, definitely a good advice also to try out the 80-20 for everyone who does not like running that much.
Yeah, also what me help with running is to run on treadmills and just take the tablet and watch TV. So that way I also have entertainment. And like it's the choice. It's like, well, I can sit on the sofa and watch the same episode, or I can just go for a run and watch that episode. Then at least I watched that episode that I really wanted to watch, but I also moved.
Yeah.
That was a good motivation to keep moving as well. Yeah. Because really, I mean, I like the feeling when I'm done, but running itself, not that much of a fan either. However, I managed to finish a half marathon earlier this year.
Well done. Well done. Definitely amazing effort. I wanted to kind of make it a whole circle again and come back to the beginning where we talked about identity and who you are. Who do you think you are now? Who are you now after moving abroad to Australia and kind of rediscovering yourself and kind of just being the person you always wanted to be without the people who judged you or the people who bullied you? Or who would you think you are now, and how have you changed since you moved to Australia?
I think now I am more myself, if that makes sense. Like just being more authentic, setting boundaries, being more direct in what I want or what I don't want, instead of trying to just please other people or trying to be liked by other people, and doing what I want to do. It's like going on road trips and running, exercising. I love to do craft stuff, and also not to wait for anyone anymore, because life's too short, and if I would always wait for someone to come with me or do stuff with me, it will never happen. So I think I got more content in being myself and being with myself.
Yeah.
But it's
Awesome.
definitely
That's
a
great.
thing I learned about moving away.
That's great. That's a really good sum and finish line. And thank you so much for all of your openness around that topic. I know it's really a sensitive topic, but yeah, you were super open about it. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having me and having that talk and moderating it so well.
Thank you. But we end every episode with the quick three questions, so I won't let you go just yet. And they are a little modified dependent on each person, but they are quite the same in an essence. But it's like short answers in one word or one sentence. But of course, you can go a little bit over if it helps you explain why you chose a certain answer. Are you ready for your quick three?
Yeah, well, let's give it a go.
All right.
I try to be as quick as possible.
No rush. Question number one. What do you miss the most from Germany?
Real bread. Like in Germany, Schwarzbrot.
Oh, yeah. The dark, nice, really. You can taste it's healthy, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah, that's definitely the thing I miss about Germany.
Yeah, fair point. Okay, question number two. What food place or activity would you recommend in Canberra?
Definitely go out in nature. We have so many nature reserves and national parks and great walks and hikes. Like it's called the bush capital because we are surrounded by bush, so make the best of it.
Nice. I guess for everyone who loves nature, that would be amazing. Okay, last question for you today. If you could give someone an advice who is currently struggling with depression and who wants to run away from it or considers moving abroad because of it, what advice would you give that person?
To do the work before you move so you can actually enjoy the move.
That's
because
a really
you will spend a lot of time struggling with yourself, or you could do so much better and enjoying where you're moving to.
Yeah, and especially if you're at home, you might even get better help. You have your family around. If you do the inner work first, you might have a better support system at home than going overseas and then being all by yourself and then having to still do the work.
Exactly.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Maria. It was amazing talking to you. And I hope everyone who is watching or listening is able to take something from it. So thank you so much. And I hope I'll see you next time.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.